you're listening to Big Blend Radio's Lost Angel Travel Adventures Show with Linda Ballou, travel writer and author, and your host, Lisa Smith. Welcome, everybody. Today we are going to the mother country. We are going to Africa. Linda is taking us to the Okavango Delta, a place that is definitely on my bucket list. And I know for many people, and some have been there, and we're all jealous of all those who have gone. I'm just kidding. But we're going to go there. We're going to hear about Zimbabwe. And also, you went to Zambia as well,
right,
which is pretty exciting, and Victoria Falls.
Right.
You did the epic Africa safari trip, which is amazing. And you wrote about the elephants and your elephant experience in Lost Angel and Leash. So welcome back. Woo, Africa.
Thank you. I'm excited to be back in Africa.
It's a magical continent. And as you know, I was raised in Kenya and South Africa. So I'm excited to hear more about Botswana. We only thing we did was cross over the border when we were touring the Kalahari Desert from South African side. And we went to Namibia and Botswana because you could just kind of cross over. And we went, we crossed the border, and then we went back before we got in trouble. Because it was kind of illegal what we did, but not bad. No one was there, let's put it that way.
Of all the places I've been to in this lifetime, I have to say Africa is the most memorable, exciting, you know, a real adventure. And it's just so, the Okavango Delta is... I haven't been to all of Africa, but it's so wonderful because there's just wildlife around every turn. You know, I mean, it's just this huge delta and waterway. The Kalahari Desert, as you know, is that a desert? And the delta has water channels that allow all the animals to feed, to drink, and graze. And I mean, there's just so many animals that you're just overwhelmed with it. It's just incredible. I have to say, as of all the places I've been now in this lifetime, I think Africa is just the most inspiring or unique, or, you know, it's just something mystical about Africa. I love it.
They say that once you get the dirt under your fingernails, you're going to go back. And so this was about 10 years ago, right, that you went?
Yeah, right. And it was really high on my bucket list to get there. And I'm really fortunate that I did. I went with Overseas Adventure Travel, which is a wonderful company that takes, you know, I mean, you know, a lot of people make a big deal about being a traveler rather than a tourist. You know, a traveler goes solo and, you know, has serendipitous experiences. But in Africa, I think it's really nice to have a guide because, you know, we had some fairly complicated crossings between countries. You know, I really think that it's wonderful to have someone taking care of you on this particular experience. So the first place we stopped was in Botswana in the Okavango Delta, and we stayed in the safari camps. We didn't stay in town anywhere. We were in camps, which was wonderful. You know, you get up at the crack of dawn and you go on your, you know, go out on your safari run while the animals, especially the lions, are coming in at night after hunting. So if you want to, you know, that's the best time to see a lot of wildlife is, you know, about 5:30 in the morning. So you get up early. I'm not used to doing that, but it was worth it to get up early. But you get to take a siesta in the afternoon because you go back to camp and relax and have a nice afternoon and then go out again at dusk. And they always take you to a sundowner, which is a wonderful...
See, that's the awesome thing, man. Yes, go. Sundowners. Ooh.
Right. They take you to the best place to look at the sundown and have treats. And of course, you know, on that time of day, you see a lot of animals. And it's just fun. And then you go back to your camp and you dance around the fire in the boma. I love the African people, the energy of the African people. You know, they love to dance. And, you know, I was dancing around that fire every night. It was just great fun.
It's a spirit of now, of living in the moment. And there's a happiness and resilience, even when There's obviously bad things that happen in Africa too. That's rough. It's a
Right.
rough, place, but it's rugged, it's beautiful. It's just intensely beautiful. And the people are just, they're always smiling and happy and just so warm and genuine. And it's exciting to see the little faces, the little kids' faces, and just the resilience. They teach
Right.
you a lot about really the power of now,
Yeah, they took us to a marketplace, a very authentic marketplace with, the local African people, doing their shopping and doing their dancing. The drums were, pounding, and I was like drawn to these dancers. And I said, what's going on? What's going on? And they said, well, we're drawing a crowd so that we can teach them how to protect themselves from AIDS. And I went, wow, that's very cool. I mean, they are, I don't want to say the word backward, that's not quite right, but they are striving to educate their people in ways that, and at that time, AIDS was a huge problem. I think they've calmed it down a little bit over there, but it's still a thing. But the people were very jovial and happy and dancing, and I thought, I like that. I like that
Yeah,
part.
no, they're amazing. And going out with a guide is so exciting too when you go on safari with guides who know how to track, which I know you had that. So you
Right,
understand
that
how to follow a wild, lions and things like that. We used to follow that. It's like, oh, this track, how fresh is it? What is that track? You can't mistake an elephant's track.
Well,
But you it's a
my
great
favorite
thing.
experience. My favorite experience really was in what we had two camps in the Okavango Delta, and in one of them, you could go off road in your safari truck. So we got up early, and my guide, I loved my guide Cowboy, and he let me sit shotgun with him up front in the safari truck. So then
Cool.
I was like really excited.
Yeah. No, but
Because
it's fun.
we stopped, the first stop was for them to get out of the safari truck and read the newspaper, which was the prints of the animals' movements the night before. And the thought was that we were tracking a lion pride. And so they found the prints, and we went off road and went through the brush and bounced all through there, went charging through, and the guys were tracking the lions, and it was really exciting. For me, I'm from Alaska, and I like big game and the roughness of it, the wildness of it. And sure enough, we found a pride who were resting after a night of hunting, and that was really a tremendous highlight for me, was that being a roughneck with Cowboy. He was so much fun.
But they teach you things, and they're open to teaching language and telling you about their
Right.
family and their, cultural traditions
Right,
and
right.
very welcoming,
Well, we went, they took us to a village where we were shown the way that they live. And there was one, we had sat down in a, not a boma, but like a roundhouse.
A
And
rondavel.
the lady, it was a young, one of the young women, got up to tell us her story. And I would say she was about 30 to 35. She was beautiful, had these white teeth, and just, physically strong and fit. And, her story is, I'm married. I have three children. I get up at 5:30 in the morning. I cook the food. I carry the water.
And they do carry the water
And they did.
on
They
their
were,
heads.
and we mash the, we pound the maize, I mean, it's a hard life, but she was so healthy and fit. I mean, I won't say I didn't feel it was enviable, but I thought it was admirable.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard life,
Hard work.
and it's hard work, Yeah, I mean, you see in Africa, women are carrying wood on their heads, water. I mean, huge buckets of water. And as a kid, when we lived in the bush, I had to do some of that. And I mean, to get water, no, really, buckets of water
Right,
from
they
a
have to
res
walk
reserve.
miles to get their water. And the other thing about it was that the men, of course, take the afternoon off. Well, they have to talk, they have to make
With
plans,
beer.
talk about things. They're making the big decisions while the women are doing all the work. I noticed that. And
It's
actually, one of our guides, not in the Delta, but in Wenge, he was negotiating for a second wife. Because as a safari guide, he made pretty good money, and he could afford to have a second younger wife. And we went, okay.
Well, that's, life over there is different.
Culture.
It's just a different, and each tribe is different. And yeah, I friends, I know people with, 40, 50 wives up to,
Yes.
depending, in
Yeah.
Kenya.
Right, when we went into Zambia, they pointed out a not a fortress, but a ranch, a huge settlement that was owned by one man who had 100 wives, you know.
And it's really, that's their lifestyle, and some things can be negative for women, and that's up to women if they're not happy. And there's a lot of nonprofits that work with people, and also, getting into the wildlife side of things. I know Botswana, and you've written about this also in Lost Angel Unleashed. The elephants, that's a situation that's always changing. 1 minute there, no hunting, now it's back open, and
Right.
it really does show how the web of life works. And animals will move just like people in Africa have always moved and been nomadic, as and certain tribes more than others. And the animals do the same according to what is safe and where there's food and where there's water. So it's always changing. So there's so many wonderful organizations that do things to help on the people side and the animal side and the environment side, which is exciting. And the more we can do to help them, the better.
Well, there's many threats to the Okavango Delta. One of them being the water sources being polluted by runoff from agriculture up above the delta, and the water being drained off. But the elephants are the probably the I won't say the largest threat, but a very big threat to the delta is the fact that they have the largest elephant population in Africa. They have like 130,000 elephants. And the trouble with it is we all love the elephants, but it creates an imbalance in the park, and because they eat the mopani trees and they siphon off the water and so on for the other animals. So the other animals, the kudu, the antelopes, the other grazing animals are suffering for it. And not just the animals, but the villagers. The villagers who live on the edges of the park have, break their backs to have these little gardens of maize so they have food for the winter. And an elephant comes in one night and eats their whole garden. And there were even a couple of things on the news locally here the other night about elephants causing problems lifting up safari trucks and
Oh yeah, well they but
carrying
you should
tourists. But here's the thing
People
about
should know about, I just want to touch on that. It's like going whale watching. There's like a line of not getting too close, and things like that, and they do charge. We've been
All
charged
right,
a
that
gazillion
brings me
times.
to my little piece that I want to read to you.
Okay.
Okay. So we're in the Okavango Delta. While rounding a bend in the Okavango Delta, our open-air safari truck's path was suddenly blocked by a wall of 200 massive gray rocks, otherwise known as elephants. After the initial flurry of photos, we began crossing the channel where the elephants were lined up for a drink. Wise Guy, driver of the first vehicle, cautiously moved forward with his band of seven guests as our group of eight trundled behind in the second Land Rover. Along our slow crawl, the elephants trumpeted, flapped their ears, and stamped their big boy feet, threatening to T-bone us as we forded the river. Wise guy stopped midstream, leaving us facing an enormous matriarch, furious at us for being too close to her baby.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, wise guy surged forward as the blasting trumpets of the herd followed. Hearts were pounding as we navigated the gauntlet of normally docile creatures shuffling and snuffling in the water. So, you know, that was probably the most dangerous thing that happened to me.
But it's exciting, isn't it? Didn't you enjoy it? At the end of it, weren't you glad you went
through it? Hearts were pounding. I mean, it was really
it's good for you.
Threatening, because she could have easily dumped our safari truck. No problem. You know, but the thing is that what's happened is human beings have created this problem because they've cut off their migration paths before mm-hmm. they created these watering holes for the gather, you know, the tourists mm-hmm. want to see the animals. And if you have a watering hole, they can take them to that watering hole at night and all the animals will come and everybody will be satisfied that they saw, you know, all the different variety of animals. Unfortunately, these water holes mean that the animals don't have to migrate the way that they mm-hmm. used to. Now they're doing, and so they're clustered in these, mm-hmm. you know, places where their water is being provided. So there are efforts being made by CASA and others. You know, there was, as you say, a very bad policy for a little while to allow trophy hunting, but I believe they've stopped that. That had very ill effects because you can't just kill one elephant in a family. They are a family. And if you kill the matriarch, the other elephants will go crazy and they'll get angry and they'll get mean and they will attack and they will do things. You know, you have to kill the whole family if you're going to kill. So that's a very controversial thing. And people don't want to kill the whole families of the elephants. So it's a situation. People are working on it. Environmentalists are working on it. Africa, you know, is trying very hard to have a balance of taking care of the animals and keeping the economy happening with the tourism, you know. But the people who are living in the country, you know, we come, we enjoy, we go. You know, but the impact of us on the country is really quite visible. As far as poaching goes, I think they've pretty well got a handle on that. I mean, they have guards patrolling the parks at dusk every night, you know. And the other thing that's happened with the elephants is genetically, because the big tuskers have been killed, they now either have little or no tusks.
Mm.
That's been nature's answer to poaching.
It's the poaching thing will always continue, unfortunately, because the park rangers have gotten, I mean, the park rangers are incredible what they go through,
right,
on anti-poaching. And there's great organizations, but there's also, I mean, we've done shows live from CITES, which is the convention that happens every few years on international wildlife trafficking and trade. And I don't want to go into a whole thing because we've done it for years and we always will. But there's still wildlife trafficking. And it also has to do with our countries of how we handle things, because we did have a law where lions, because lions are really, really threatened. Giraffe are incredibly threatened. Elephants are threatened. And in some, like you're saying, one area here, there's a whole bunch, but in some other parts of the continent, they're not so much, right? Look at the rhino.
Right.
So our country at one point did pass these laws where you're not allowed to bring your trophies back in. The airlines weren't allowed to do it. All of that happened. And so that got reversed when a certain president took over a few years back, because his family hunts. But that's a true documented thing. This is not a political statement at all, but this is a true thing. And I think they've been working to get it back. It's an on and off thing. So I don't know where we're at on that, but to reverse those laws, I mean, it was so huge to get those laws in place. And even our U.S. Fish and Game, which is now Fish and Wildlife, actually were a huge component of doing that. And a lot of countries doing that actually help solve the problem as much as you can. But there will always be underground trafficking, just like drugs and human trafficking,
Yeah,
sex
supply
trafficking.
and
It's all part
demand.
of it.
Supply and demand, which is
But
a
going there, and even these conversations and doing podcasts and talking about the travel, I mean, we look at tourism, it's something we need to do as travelers. We need to be aware of our footprint. And it's Earth Day
right.
month, it's April, and I'm
Yeah.
glad we're having this conversation because I think it's something we need to think about. What are you buying as a souvenir when you go? Those kinds of things. So we need to, as travelers, be conscious of it. And if you're not traveling there, you can still support causes that are doing amazing work.
Right. And you can buy handicrafts that are made by the local people and things like that, rather than animal trophies of sorts.
Yes, exactly.
But I I think Africa, the wonderful thing about it is the diversity. When I was in Zambia, we stayed in the Delta for two camps, and then we went to Zambia. And that, I have to say, it was such a special experience because instead of being in a safari truck, we were on the water. And we went, up the river, the Kafue River, and spent the day on the water where you saw all these fabulous birds. And I saw lots of big birds in the
Like
Delta.
marabou storks,
And there, yes, right, because you, yes, and cranes and the honey,
the crown crane,
yeah, there's a very colorful,
lilac-breasted roller.
there we are.
And you saw hornbills too.
Yes, and hornbills, and on the river, they were all over in the trees, flying close, and you could really see them and experience them. And also, there were hippos in the river. And
Are they awesome?
they are, and apparently they're quite dangerous. They're much more dangerous than elephants, for
Nancy
instance.
got chased on foot
Yeah,
by
I
a
guess they can
hippo,
run
came out of
like
the
about
water.
30 miles an hour.
They
My
haul.
camp, my little my place to live there on the river, which was very nice, just being on the water. You could hear the hippos snorting away at night. Apparently they come out and graze at night. And stay submerged in the daytime, but they are quite dangerous, the hippos. But we didn't have any incidents with them. They're
Yeah, the
also
crocodiles. I wanted to
there
touch
were
on the crocodile.
crocodiles.
I
Yes,
saw
there
your
were
photo.
crocodiles.
Isn't that always like, I know we have them in Florida, on the on one portion of the Everglades National Park. There's just one section there that you get crocodiles and alligators. And it's amazing to me because I'm always out looking for alligators. Whenever I can get to a swamp, I'm in. But
They're not one of my faves.
the crocodile, when going, I mean, they are massive in comparison to
Right.
alligators. I mean, they really, those jaws, I mean, that's the one of the, I mean, they're dinosaurs, man.
They are absolutely. I think they're the oldest remnants that we still have of that dinosaur age. I mean, they really are incredible. I don't want to be in a death roll with a crocodile.
No, but the crocodiles and hippos have this weird way of coexisting. Like you do not want to go swimming, just go, oh,
I
look at that
see what
ugly
you mean.
water.
Yeah,
No.
they have a mutual respect. But it was delightful to be on the water for a couple of reasons. One, because you do have some insects that can be annoying when you're in the Land Rovers. And driving slowly, you can be bothered by tsetse flies is what they had there, and they sting and they bite and it's not fun. But you get out on the river and you'd have no, you're cruising along slowly, and it just was a delightful day and way of seeing Africa that I really enjoyed. And then of course we went to Zimbabwe, where the largest body, well, I think Victoria Falls is the largest. They say Iguazu might be wider or something, but Victoria Falls is certainly impressive, and it has its own it makes its own climate, because the mist rising from the spray from this massive plunge of water creates a tropical forest that's on the edge of the cliff that you walk on overlooking the falls. And in fact, you get to this one point where you better be wearing your rain gear. It's so heavy. You get
That's
soaked.
cool.
But the intrepid tourist, is willing to get soaked to see it up close and personal. But it was really very, very, very impressive, the Victoria Falls. And and also that area is interesting because it has this sense of colonialism. The structures, the hotels, there's a graciousness there that's left over from the English colonialism. And the other thing that was interesting and fun there was they do give you the opportunity to ride an elephant. It's the only place in Africa where you can ride an African elephant. I guess you can ride elephants in India and other places. But this, so I took the opportunity. I did it. I thought, I gotta do this. So, got up at crack of dawn and they went out and gathered the elephants in. And we, about six of us in the group, boarded the elephants and they took us out for a walk. And the guides walked ahead with guns because this was a wildlife preserve. And it's controversial. Some people say, well, you shouldn't be riding elephants, but I mean, it didn't seem to be hurting them. I mean, they were certainly being well taken care of. But it's a novelty to be able to ride African elephants. And it was great. It was fun. I loved it.
Yeah, Africa has got so many opportunities to really sit and connect and watch. And what I love is what you touched on is the diversity. It's the diversity of the cultures, the diversity of the landscape, and the diversity of the wildlife. It blows my mind. And it's really funny because you talk about the colonialism too. It's like there's your part of the diversity of culture. I always wondered, and you've been to Australia, and that I know that graciousness, and then there's the other side of colonialism that is completely not, it wasn't always a positive for Africa. But was it kind of Australian like in regards to that colonialism, like Tasmania, that kind of, did you feel that connection?
Not so much the main continent of Australia, but in Tasmania, I really felt a sense of being in the motherland, because it had the green rolling hills dotted with sheep and culture cultivated. And there was one little town I stopped in that was like wind and willows kind of thing, with the trees, the willows hanging over the water, and I had tea and a toastie, and it was very sweet and gracious with little teapots, and very English, very, very English, and the people were sweet and civilized, very
Yeah.
English. And in the Africa experience, at 3 o'clock we would have tea.
Yep.
It was leftover come from the colonial days, right?
Yeah, tea time was a normal thing. Yeah, tea time. And then right after tea time, it's wine time or sherry time. I don't know if
That's
they
right.
offered you sherry, but wine time. And because you could go on a safari and they'll like whip out a feast with food
Right.
and drink, and you're like, you're out in the middle of the Bosveld or whatever the bush, right? And you've got all this wildlife around you, and here you are, la-di-da,
Right.
feast. It
Well,
was amazing.
staying in the camps is really quite luxurious, I mean, but it's a wonderful experience. As I say, there's a snobbery in the travel writing world about being a traveler and not a tourist, but I must say I really enjoyed being a
No,
tourist.
Africa, listen,
And being
Africa
in
knows
these
tourism.
camps, it was just great. And at night, you could hear the elephants, you could hear them rumbling, snoring at night. I mean, they were very close to you. And one guy, he went out for a run we couldn't leave the camps because that was dangerous to go outside, to go for a walk outside of the camps. So he was running in the camp and he ran into a warthog. I mean, the animals were with us, you know, we were in their neighborhood, and so it was fun. I mean, and I don't think that you get that experience unless you do stay at a safari camp, you know.
Or you can go camping, you know, we there's camping and stuff like that, depending on where, but the camps, I mean, I think Africa really, tourism is such a big part of their economic,
right,
you know, backbone, but the hospitality is incredible to me. And it's like, it's so incredible to experience that warm hospitality to me, that I feel like sometimes we could bring that over here a little bit more. And the way they do their camps, we have friends who make those tents, and it's incredible what they do.
Right. I had a private bath, you know, it was very, you know, very comfortable and gracious,
That's
and
awesome.
Usually setting, like I said, my one little house was right on the river, very nice, and the one in Wangi Park was on the bluff, so I had a tremendous expansive view of, you know, the grounds below, and I could see antelope and kudus and things, you know. It was lovely.
We saw
a cheetah. That was a big nice surprise. Don't normally
see cheetahs. Are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you saw a leopard too, didn't you?
I saw cheetah. I didn't see leopard. No.
Okay, that's always a big deal to see a leopard. They're so remote and they're solo. Like they're pretty much a lot of times up in trees because that's where they eat their kill. They hang them up in trees.
Right. Well, I haven't been to Tanzania and Kenya, and I'd
yet.
Like to go to Zanzibar. You know, I'd love to go back to Africa. I don't know if I'll be lucky enough to get back there in this lifetime, but I feel very fortunate, and I think that it's worth it. You know, it's a 20-hour flight from where I am, and you know, it's worth it though to get there. And and if you're gonna go soon, because it's changing so quickly. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that are impinging upon it. You know, the development, like I say, the biggest threat I think is the water situation in the delta. Mm-hmm. And I think you in the Kalahari, you had a one of your programs. You were showing people who had a resort in the Kalahari where.
No, that was Botswana. That was in Botswana. The Kalahari is where one of the places we traveled, but it's in Botswana that they had a drought, and all the elephants came out to the resort and hung out there. It's a great documentary, Elephant Refugees. I encourage people to watch it. You learn so much about elephants and how special they are. And they were destructive because they were looking for water. And so this resort the guests want a pool? Well, do we have a pool when we have no water? But that's what the guests want. And they need the money so that they can help the elephants. And so they needed the pools, but then the elephants would come and drink from the pool. So it was like this whole crazy story. But they had some incredible droughts that happened a few years back that really hurt wildlife all across the
country. Well, that's climate change. You know, that's the other thing. I mean, it forces migrations, not just of animals, but of people.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, that's why I'm saying, you know, if you want to go, you should go sooner than later.
Well, yeah. I mean, when we lived in Kenya, we were there in the 70s, and that's what Nancy did. She was tracking wildlife with Joy Adamson. I know people have heard of Elsa the Lion and Born Free. That's what our background is. That, and we lived out in the bush in tents, and I lived with two different tribes as a kid, you know, and you learn to really be very observant because there's snakes and all that kind of good stuff too.
Right.
But the biodiversity we can see from her photography and her slides, you know, by the time we left in the 90s, how the biodiversity was dwindling down. You could go to a watering hole and see, you know, 50 species.
Right.
And I mean, that's a lot of species. We're talking birds, we're talking amphibians, we're talking about everything, right? Different gazelles, antelope, all of that, and elephants, buffalo, right, crocodiles, you name it. But now it's not as prolific, as biodiverse as it was. And that's why, like, one animal impacts the whole web of life. If you take one
Exactly.
out, it messes up the balance. So
Right.
when you say about go now, you're absolutely right. Go.
Right.
And I think you're right about the going, like, go with companies that specialize in it. And
Right.
no, I mean,
Yes.
that's and to one that allows you to be immersed with local culture, then it's
Right.
special.
That's what's so nice about overseas adventure travel is that they take you to the villages and they take you to marketplaces and they take you to things that might be not off the beaten track so that you have a more authentic experience of the country. Yet, and like I said, some of the crossings were a little tricky. I won't say dangerous, but you needed to know what you were doing there. Crossing borders. And we had some inland flights. We flew into one camp that was quite remote, the one in Zambia. It involved a flight and then being taken in on a safari truck into the camp. I mean, it's hard to arrange those things on your own. And I think, and it was so well organized. And there was like only maybe one screw up here or there. We were crossing the Zambezi River, I think it was, and one of the people had left their camera on the rocks on the beginning side of our crossing. And instead of saying, "Oh, too bad," they said, "Okay, we'll go shopping over here on this side, and our guide will go back and get your camera and, bring it to you." I mean, and I think it's worth it to be with a good company.
It really is. It really, really, it is. I'm so glad you went, and I hope you go again. But in the meantime, people go to get Lost Angel Unleashed so they can read the story that you're reading from in your book and get that. And also keep up with you on your website, lostangeladventures.com. And also, we've got a link in the show notes, not only for Linda's website, but also for an article she wrote from the Baby Boomer Women website. That's an association, right, that you've been writing for a while.
Right, I'm the adventure travel expert for the National Association of Baby Boomer Women. So,
There you go. Cool.
yeah, thank you so much for letting me relive my African
Oh, you made
experience.
me relive it too. You know, it's cool.
Let's go
This one's.
back. I really want to get to Zanzibar and
I know Zanzibar is a place I've that's got some cool stuff, and I want to go to Mozambique because I've got a thing
well,
about
I've
baobab
heard
trees.
Namibia is really quite something.
Yes, Namibia is incredible, and South Africa too. I mean, this
Ah,
is
you guys did the garden tour, the garden route.
garden route.
Is that really, really special?
Oh, yes.
See, that's I would love to do that.
The garden route is goes from Cape Town up towards the Eastern Cape,
Right.
goes through National Park, Sitsikamma National Park, and it's a forest. It's you could go to the tip of Africa, and there's two areas. One is the Cape Point, and then there's like the actual tip of Africa where you see the two oceans just meet and crash up on each other. But if you go between August and October and you do the garden route, then that's when the what they call the fynbos, which is all in bloom, and it's all different parts of, like, proteas, the protea flowers, like you find them in Hawaii. They're all, and then you have the sugar birds, which are like big hummingbirds coming up, and then you go hiking
You've
in,
got me fired up, Elisa. Now I
and
gotta
then
go.
you go hiking in these beautiful forests that change everywhere. There's like, you go across bridges on foot, like those foot bridges, and I almost fell in the water on one. But anyway, that suspension bridges, and you've got this rugged coastline that is like, if you're going like Oregon's rugged coastline, but
Yes.
like sunshine, right? And then you could go diving with sharks. You wanted to have that kind of experience.
No, I can live
You could go in a
without that one.
cage. You can go in a cage and hang out with sharks. There's just, I mean, you can see penguins on the beach. We saw an ostrich walk down the beach, out in Paternoster area. So the garden route is magical. And then if you go up north, you can go into the Kalahari and the Hoot Karoo, which is like the big Karoo, and then they have the Little Karoo, which is like a very ruggedy desert area, but more rocks. And they have their own, like they call them quagga, which is like a type of zebra, that different type. And if you go to Eastern Cape, they have their own elephants, Addo Elephant National Park. You must go. And these elephants are, they're not like Indian elephants or Asian elephants, but they are a little smaller, a little different. And so you want to go there. So anyway, don't get me started.
I can
Goodness.
see. Well, you've got me going. I'm
It
gonna
sounds
have to
like you've
try
got
to
an
get
elephant
back.
in the back there. You've got an elephant in the room. It's a siren going by, but it just
I'm
sounded as
sorry
like,
about that. What can I say?
I know it happens, but yeah, South Africa, and go to the Kalahari. If you go up there in the wildflower season, it's kind of like what's going on now for California, all those wildflowers. You've been doing some nice hikes, haven't you, out in flower power land?
Yeah, it's happening. It's a late spring because it's been colder here than normal, but it's coming on now. We're having the warm weather, and I want to try to get to the beach this afternoon, to tell you the truth.
Oh, well, then we better go. All right, Linda's off to the beach. She's a lost
Right.
angel. Thanks,
Take
Linda.
care. All right, Lisa. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's Lost Angel Travel Adventure Show with Linda Ballou, travel writer and author. Keep up with her at lindabalooauthor.com and lostangeladventures.com. You can also keep up with Big Blend Radio at bigblendradio.com. Now, happy traveling.